Well, hey, everybody, and welcome. I'm Art Subcheck, and welcome to Sales Kickoff 2019. In this session today, I'm going to share tons of ideas and techniques and processes that, if you use them, they will help you to get through, get in, create more interest, minimize resistance, engage more prospects, set more appointments, sell more, make more money, and not only this week, and this month, but all throughout the year and your career. Now, does that all sound good to you? Well, good, because that's what we're going to deliver here today. And by the way, did I get your attention with that opening? Great, because that's also one of the things that you want to do on all of your calls, and that's create interest right away with value for the listener. So they want to pay attention. They want to engage with you, and we're going to cover that as well. So first of all, congratulations. You are in an elite group for several reasons. Number one, first of all, just because you're in sales. Hey, let's face it. Most people wouldn't do or actually couldn't do what we do. I mean, this is the greatest profession in the world when it is done professionally. But again, most people couldn't do it because they couldn't subject themselves to the possible circumstances that we put ourselves in every day, and they couldn't react like we do in order to continue to do it consistently. And, you know, everybody is a born salesperson. Some just don't make it their career and they get out of it. I mean, I learned so much when my kids were growing up, especially about asking for money. You're also a special person because you're here today. You've proven that you're an action taker and that you aren't afraid to invest in yourself. And the most successful salespeople I've ever been around, and I've been around a bunch of them, some very, very wealthy ones, millionaires who've just become millionaires from being salespeople. And they all know that they got to their level because they continually invested in themselves. And that's what you're doing here today. So again, you are an elitist when it comes to people in professions. Now, I promised something when you signed up here. We're going to give away two very valuable prizes. So for two people, we're going to give away lifetime enrollment in my Smart Calling College training program. This is a comprehensive online and hybrid live training program where we also have live webinars every month. And that's way over an $895 value. And actually, right now, I'm going to give away the first one, and then we'll give away the second one right at the end. And this isn't very scientific. We just simply did a random drawing of everybody that registered for the program. And the first lucky winner is, I'm going to butcher the name here, Jennifer Ballou. Ballou, B-E-A-U-L-I-E-U, a beautiful French name, but I'm not sure I pronounced it correctly. So Jennifer, shoot me an email or we'll shoot you an email and let you know how to get involved in the program. All right, so let's get back to the material here. So here's the format. I'm going to be going rapid fire through all the tips and techniques and the messaging that I'm going to be sharing. And for the most part, I'm going to be following the logical progression of the professional sales and prospecting call the way I teach it. And I teach a 7-step process. I know many of you took advantage of the how to place the successful sales and prospecting call course. And that's the process that we're going to be following. I mean, you don't need to have that in order to benefit from this. And by the way, if you still want that process, you can actually get the book and I'll send it to you free. That's in the US. I'll send you the book for free. Just go to freesalesbook.com, freesalesbook.com. Oh, it's $4.95 for the shipping, which we lose money on every one. But anyway, that's the process there. Okay, so one of the biggest problems I hear from sales reps is actually getting to speak with buyers, getting through to decision makers. And I've long taught working with assistants is much better than trying to go above, around, through, or over them. And many of the techniques I'm going to be covering with you today are things that I've used and also have been shared by my clients and Inner Circle members and people out in the field. And this is one that was shared with me, and I heard it in use. And this particular sales rep, when he gets an assistant on the phone, likes to start out with, "Are you the most kind, patient person in your office?" Now, of course, what do you think happens after that question? Well, there's a little bit of a chuckle. The ice has been broken, and now we have this person on our side. And then he proceeds to start asking questions, doing some social engineering, and actually gets that person to assist him in getting through to the decision maker very often. So a disarming approach. I would suggest you write that one down and try it. So speaking about getting through, have you ever had situations where you've left those repeated voicemails with no reply? Well, how about this? How about just simply opting out, hitting zero or pound or hacking around on your dial pad there, and just getting someone else, finding a real person to speak with? And when you do, ask this question. About how often does he or she get around to making return calls? Because normally, if the call goes to somebody else, it's typically somebody that is familiar with the person that you're looking for. And then naturally, I always suggest that every call is an information opportunity. Use that as an opportunity to ask questions of that individual. Do some social engineering. Okay, let's talk about email here. This is really becoming one of my pet peeves, and that is sales reps who are sending out horrible prospecting emails. And let me just give you an example of one here. And I've blanked out the name and the company name. And this guy said, "I checked out your website. Notice you don't sell online videos or online classes. Have you thought about adding this to your site to reach more people, gain additional revenue?" This is, oops, I didn't block out all the names there. So anyway, they go into a pitch on their service, okay? And they start talking about their thing. And then he asks for a 20-minute phone call. Now, the major problem with this is, if you went to my site, he would know that we do sell online videos and online classes. So this is pretty much a canned approach. And then with most of these, this comes a couple days later. It's a template. Not sure if you saw it, but I sent you a message a few days ago about, okay, what day works for you, best for you for a 5-minute chat. And then when they don't get a reply to that, a couple days later, here comes another one, and they're asking for another appointment. So again, non-targeted, boilerplate prospecting email, asking for a decision and going into a pitch. And it's, to me, it's just so tiring and it's so tedious. And I did an entire webinar on using email, a totally different email approach from what I'm going to give you here right now. And actually, you can get access to that webinar for free, and it's part of the Sales Experts channel. And that's the website, the T-H-E salesexpertschannel.com. And I believe if you go over to the right side, mine is still listed there. It's about using email in the prospecting process. And it's fairly involved. But I've got another very simple email here. If you want to use an email in a prospecting approach, it should really be using the same principles that we use when we're making a smart call. And really, let me just go through what I have here. We use some intelligence. We do customize it, something that we do know about them, okay, right at the beginning to let them know that we are a real human. And then we've got a possible value proposition here in the next paragraph. And notice we're talking about results and not the thing itself. I'm not going into a pitch. We're going into something they may be interested in. And then I'm saying, all I'd like to do is ask a few questions, determine if it would be a value for us to speak further. And now I'm just asking for a time to call so that I can ask some questions, not to go into a pitch. And then what I say is, if Friday morning's not a good time to call, could you indicate when you would be available. And that is a much better alternative to the one that we saw earlier that simply was talking about their thing. All right. So again, somebody asked, what was the website? It was the salesexpertschannel.com. And again, an entire free webinar there. Plus, there's a bunch of other webinars. Okay. And I mentioned the smart calling process. I may be preaching to the choir here. This might be a review for many of you. Smart calling is my brand. It's the method of prospecting where, get this, we actually know something about someone and what's going on in their world. And we use that in our messaging in order to pique curiosity and engage them in a conversation. So a lot of what we're going to be covering after this will follow the smart calling process. So I'm going to give you just the Reader's Digest version of that for those of you who aren't that familiar with it. And if you are, it's going to be a good review for you. And bottom line, the more you know about a prospect and his or her situation, the better able you're going to be to generate interest by appealing to their specific situations. And as I just mentioned here in dealing with assistants, I do recommend that you question assistants, people who may perform the role of the screener. Gosh, I hate that word because I like to call them assistants. And we want to ask questions of really anybody in the prospect's organization in order to gather some intelligence that may be able to help us. And this is after we've done some of our online and offline research about our prospect. So we've done the research, and then we want to do the social engineering. And here is the social engineering script that I like to use. So again, somebody answers the phone other than the decision maker, or we opt out from voicemail. We get somebody on the phone. Very simply, I'm hoping you can help me, the magic H word. I'm going to be speaking with Mr. Big, and I want to be sure I'm on target with my questions. There's probably some information you could provide that would be useful, and then you go into the questions. Don't ask, may I ask you a few questions, because you just did ask a question, right? So just proceed with your questions here. And some people might say, well, gosh, would people answer questions? Absolutely. People are conditioned to answer questions if you ask them. And really the magic here, the ninja psychology stuff, is this. I want to be sure I'm on target with my questions. This is proven to get you more and better information. It's called the justification statement. So go read Robert Cialdini's book on influence, and he talks about having a reason why anytime you're asking for something that's going to increase your response. Okay. Next, very simply, then we want to go into we want to create our interest-creating opening statement, which also serves as our voicemail. And again, I'm going through this pretty quickly. I'm going through an entire day and a half course, and I'm fast-forwarding. But, I mean, you could actually just take this, fill in the blanks, and begin using it with success. So here is a version of the smart calling opening statement. You get the person on the phone, or we use it as voicemail. So what we're doing here is we're using our smart calling intelligence. This is one way to word it. Hey, Mr. Prospect, I understand you're now in the process of whatever it might be, evaluating sites for your 2020 national sales meeting. Okay, so we're talking about something that might be going on in their world. And if you can talk about a problem, all the better. Now what we do is we talk about our possible value. So what I'm saying here is I might have something here that might make that process a little bit easier as it relates to. And now we're talking about a problem or a situation that they run into. And again, this is just one version of it. You, of course, want to tweak and adapt this to your situation. And then the last part is, if I've reached you at a good time, like to discuss a couple of ideas to determine if you'd like some information. Or I also end with, if I've reached you at a good time, I'd like to ask you a couple questions, see if it'd be worth our while to speak further. So really all we're trying to do here is to get them talking and have them in a positive, receptive frame of mind when they're doing so. That is the entire smart calling process in execution. Now, of course, there's a lot that goes into that. If you haven't already, I encourage you to pick up a copy of Smart Calling. I believe you can get it on Kindle for under $20. I make about a dollar on every one of those. So load up on them. I mean, buy like 10 or 20 of them, if you could. All right. So let's talk a little bit more about the initial call. And this was one I actually received. I had a guy call me and he was looking for an appointment. So it was a financial planner and he cold called me. And after introducing himself and his company, here's what he said. He said, "I was referred to you by," and this was a friend of mine, and "I'd like to come by and spend about 20 minutes discussing what I do for people to help with their investments." Now, what's wrong with that, do you think? Actually, just go ahead and type in the question box. What do you think is wrong with that opening? Let's see from you here. Who can spot the problem with the opening? Jody says that's too much of a sales pitch. Yeah, absolutely. And it's pretty short, but it's still too much of a sales pitch because he's talking about, "I want to come by." But yeah, there's nothing in it for me. Barbara says it's focused on what he does. Nancy says, that's right. Plus, the major one here is that he asks for a decision. Will says, what's in it for me? Curtis says, what's their pain? Stan says, no benefit to me. Coleman says, no value to me. Absolutely. Faith says it's too much of an assumption that they want to hear. Or I want to hear what they have to say. All those things. And then, of course, he's asking for a decision right here. "I want to come by and spend about 20 minutes. I mean, he hasn't even earned the right to stay on the phone with me yet, let alone come and meet with me, right? So what would I suggest that we do here? What do you think? Well, here's what I suggest. I would suggest a version of the smart call opening. He should have done some research on me. Could have been something as simple as, "Hey, really enjoyed your LinkedIn post on objections the other day." What I do is I specialize in working with professionals in the information publishing and speaking business. Now, again, I would put myself in that box. Okay. So I know that he's done a little bit of research, helping them maximize their return and minimize their tax liability by taking advantage of some laws unique to what you do. And now I'm going, what? There's laws unique to what I do that I'm not taking advantage of? And if I reach you at a good time, I like to ask a few questions, see if we'd have the basis for a more in-depth conversation. So what am I doing now? I'm leaning in. Okay, because the possible benefit to me, maximize return, minimize tax liability. There are some tax laws unique to what I do. It's created some curiosity. And only the biggest decision I have to make here is answer a couple questions. So that is what I would suggest. Now, if he wants to set an appointment with me, he'd ask a couple questions. He'd get me interested. He'd realize that I'm a good prospect. I would be now more interested because now I'm invested. He would probably drop a couple hints about what he does, and I'd be all in for an appointment. So that's what I would suggest for an appointment. For those of you out there, if you're a business development rep or if you're setting appointments for yourself. Okay. Now, if you want to get a ton of new business this year, who wants that? I would assume we all do, right? How about going after some past customers? And there's a right way to do this. There's a wrong way to do this. And let me just share a question that I got from a reader. And Jonathan said, "I'm having difficulty trying to come up with the best sales approach." He said, "I've been assigned the task of contacting customers who purchased about 2 years ago that we haven't been in contact with for some time." And he said, what he needs to do is remind them that they're still there, offer to send some information, and then basically see if he can get a new order. And he said, it's pretty difficult to do for the data cable industry. Don't know why that would be. Unless he perceives he's selling a commodity. But here is the opening that he had sent me. "Hi, this is John with Watkins Cable. We build custom and standard data and voice cable assemblies. First, I want to thank you for your past business with us. I just came on board and was looking through our database, calling on contacts that we haven't talked to in a while." So let's put you back to work again. What is wrong with that one? What is wrong with that one? So let's see here. We've got a little bit of a delay. So there again is no, there's really no what's in it for me there either, right? Why haven't you spoken in a while? Jody says, and doesn't make them feel valued. That's right. Wait a minute, this doesn't make him feel valued? I was looking through our database, calling on contacts we haven't talked to in a while. That doesn't make them feel important? Right. So James says the same thing. Coleman, Faith, Brenda, thank you for checking in there. Yeah, we all pretty much nailed that one. So the main problem here is that he is just simply calling up, checking in, and again, no potential value. I mean, how would you feel if you heard this, right? And most people wouldn't feel special. So we want to have something of value, something of interest. So here's the general format that I suggest when you're calling past customers. I'll break it down for you. He did use the first thing that I like to do, which is, first of all, I want to thank you for your past business with us. I see we've had the opportunity to provide you with. Now, I always suggest that you remind them of what they had purchased from you, okay? Because they're probably not sitting there remembering what they purchased from you. Maybe they only bought from you once, so they may not even know who you are, okay? So the purpose for the call today is that depending on your current product and delivery requirements for cabling accessories and your satisfaction level with what you're now getting, so now I've created several different criteria that I just touched on, okay? I kind of opened up the loop there a little bit. And now I say, I might have a few options for you that might. So now I'm filling in with possible value, okay? And of course, I don't know his business, but whatever your business is here, you'd fill in with whatever your big gun is, whatever a main differential advantage is. If you still have notes from a previous sales rep or anything about that customer, why they bought, that's probably wishful thinking, but you might be able to fill that in here. And again, we would probably end with, just like to ask you a few questions, okay? Again, touch on the fact they purchased before, thank them, remind them what they purchased. Depending on what you're doing, I might have a couple options that potentially could be of some potential interest to you. So there's the what's in it for them. And again, I'm not saying I want to pitch this to you. I'm not pitching a specific product. What I'm doing is I want to get them talking. Okay. All right. So after our openings, we always want to get into our questioning. And as a great sales professional, you know that you need to ask questions to be successful, right? And you probably heard before that there's no such thing as a dumb question. Well, that's not true. There are dumb questions, especially in sales. Some actually lead us down a dead end. We want to avoid questions like these. So are you satisfied with what you're using now? Are you having any problems? Is there anything I can do for you? Is there anything else that you want? Some people might say, well, that's a good question. Well, no, it's kind of like at the convenience store. You go in and you pay for your water or whatever, and they say, anything else? Now, how many times do you say, oh, you know what? Great question. Thanks for reminding me. I'm going to buy all my groceries here now. No. So what all these questions, here's what they do. They force the listener to do too much thinking. Okay. They assume that the person was sitting there thinking about his or her problem. And that's not the case at all. And besides, the words problems and satisfied, those are vague. If their problem was major, if they weren't satisfied to the point of discomfort, they probably would have already done something about it, right? So now this is not to say that they may not be dissatisfied or have a problem right at this very moment. They could. They just aren't aware of it at the very second that you ask them, or they don't perceive it as being a concern. So our job as professional salespeople is to help them realize it, but we can't tell them though. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to ask assumptive problem questions. You know, if you try to tell people they have a problem, what do? they resist and they just rationalize the status quo. Yeah, we're all good, right? But if somebody believes an idea was their own, we buy into that more. So how do we do this? Well, let's say, for example, you know that your competitor has slower delivery times than you, and your products are very time sensitive. So we want to assume that they're already having the problem. But instead of asking our prospect if they have any delivery problems, we want to paint a picture of what happens, of the implications because of poor delivery. So we might want to say something like, so how often have you found, oops, I'm jumping ahead here. I don't have the slide on this one, but I'll just give it to you. How often have you found yourself losing money because you've had to stop the production line waiting for a parts delivery? Interesting. Think about that. Now the same person who might have said they didn't have a problem, now they're thinking back to the day that they caught some grief from their boss because they were paying people to stand around because of one replacement part that didn't arrive. So here's what you can do. All right. Here's a simple way to structure these questions. First thing you want to do, make a list of all the situations regarding loss or pain that could result by not using your product or service. Then what we want to do is we want to frame questions that very explicitly paint an emotional portrait of those feelings. So for example, and somebody in the temporary help business would not want to say, oh, do you ever have a need for temporary help? Instead, how often do you find your department with more work than you have time to complete it in and trouble staring at you if you don't meet the deadline? Now, what are they thinking about? They're thinking about the problem that causes the need for that type of service. I've worked with a lot of advertising companies in the past, and I've heard this question way too many times. Are you happy with your advertising? What's the easy answer to that? Yeah, we're good. So instead, where have you spent money on any promotions where the results didn't bring the phone calls you expected? Now, who hasn't run ads and didn't get a response that they wanted, right? We all could put ourselves in that situation. And this is a question that implies a benefit of your product or service by stating the problem that you've solved for someone else. And then it asks the prospect about their experience regarding the situation or problem. So here's some examples of that. So most of our customers found they were having problems with getting their deliveries within 5 days with the other service they were using. What is your experience? Before they began using our service, many of our customers felt that their redo rate was unacceptable because of all the wasted material. So what kind of rates are you running into? Or many people find it a nuisance to manually fill out those forms every day when the information's already in the computer. What have your people said in the past about re-entering the data? Now, you see, with this type of question, you paint the picture of inconvenience in the listener's mind. And now, what are they doing? They're visualizing it. They're feeling it. And then you have the opportunity to tell them how you can come to the rescue, right? The real power here is that by using a third-party example, it's much better than blatantly telling a prospect that they've likely experienced the problem you can solve. So, bottom line on this section, not all questions are good ones, but the ones you ask always should be. Ask questions that help your listeners focus on specific problems and implications of the problem. And then you're going to find it's much easier for them to relate to what you can do. Okay. So moving right along in the sales process, we have, after questioning, we have sales recommendation. Now, everybody says at this point in the recommendation, I prefer to call it recommendation as opposed to presentation, by the way, because recommendation means that forces you to get information first. And everybody knows that we're supposed to present the benefits, right? Well, I like to call them results. And this is a concept that really forces you to make sure that you're talking about results. And I call this presenting the benefit of the benefit. And that means anytime you're presenting a benefit, add this onto it. So which means, so you're going to get this, this, and this, which means now what you're doing is you're explaining, again, you're further explaining the result. Or what that means to you is, and you know what, this is not new. I believe I was taught this in my first corporate sales training class at the old AT&T back in 1982. And I mean, the fundamentals are the fundamentals for a reason. Why? Because they work. So, and here's actually a good sales meeting exercise. Sit down with your team and write out the results that you typically present in your recommendation phase, and then see if you can drill that down even further, further piling on what that benefit means in terms of the result to the listener. Okay. All right, let's talk about following up effectively and not inviting further stalls. Okay, now this one is kind of out of place in the whole sales process, but sometimes what can happen is during a call, we can run into a little bit of a logjam. Somebody determines that we need to have another conversation. So we're going to talk about how to make sure that that follow-up is effective. And to do that, I'm going to illustrate a scenario with a guy that called me. So here's the case study. So on the previous call, a couple months earlier, I had told this caller who was a sales rep for a multimedia presentation equipment company. I told him I wasn't ready. Okay. And he agreed to call back in a couple of months. Okay. And, you know, I was somewhat interested, and I think I might have maybe just kind of been blowing him off at that point, and he bit. Okay. But he did call back, and here's what he said. So I'm following up on our last call where you said you weren't ready yet for our system, but to check back with you to see if things have changed. Now, when this call came in, I was in my typical mode, multitasking five different things, my hair's on fire, and I responded with the first thing that came to mind. What do you think that was? Well, it was in direct response to his lead here. So I said, but no, I'm still not ready yet. Nothing's changed. Check back later. Okay. So, and he basically asked for that, right? So put yourself in my position. I mean, I hadn't given this person or his offer any thought since our last contact. And I really didn't hear any benefits in any reason for me to stay on the phone with him. Although I still was in this similar situation, I could have been a good prospect. So what could he have done? I mean, bottom line, what could he have done? So what we all should do as sales reps in our follow-up situations is open up a call with a positive, reminding the prospect of the benefits they had interest in last time. And then we need to add on why now would be a better time as opposed to the past. So in just looking at this scenario, here's something I would have listened to. Hey, RSP Visual of Multimediates. And hey, we talked in April about your interest in making your presentations come alive with that enhanced technology. Felt that now would be a great time to talk since you're planning your 2019 schedule that you had mentioned in your Facebook group. I've also got some new information about some systems that have been very popular with other trainers. So that would have kept me on the phone. Okay. It piqued some curiosity. So you think about that. That doesn't put me on the spot and tries to make me recall my interest. It reminds me of it instead. So the real key to ensure you have a good follow-up is laying your groundwork really on your initial call, which by the way, this guy didn't do. But you can. So before ending your initial call, ensure they're worth calling back. I mean, calling back just for the sake of reactively checking in, that's a waste. and normally results in more stalls. So if they say something like, check back with me in a couple months. Ask them something like, hey, I'll be happy to. So do you feel at that time you'll be ready to move forward? Or what's going to make that a better time for you? Okay. And on the other hand, if let's say there's not a fit today for what you have, but you nevertheless feel they would still be worth pursuing. For example, maybe they would be a huge potential customer. Do a last resort question here. Would you ever see yourself using a service like ours? And if they say yes, you might say, oh, okay, under what circumstances? So you could still salvage something here. And if you don't, if you get a no, isn't that much better than following up with someone that would you would never have any chance with? Yeah, absolutely. All right. So let's move on to the next part of the call here. Let's talk about a close. I'm not big on memorizing 1,000 different closing techniques. Most of you know who have been through my training, but we do want to be comfortable and proficient in having several. And here's one that really I've used, and I've heard it used in action. That's actually where I stole it from. And it's this. So after you've made your recommendation and the prospect is reacting favorably, maybe they've given you a buying signal or two, or maybe they've given you a possession signal. By the way, a possession signal is when somebody says something that indicates they've already taken possession in their mind of the product or service. Like in my case, they might say, well, let's see. Yeah, I'd probably include a couple of our customer service people in the training as well. Now, they wouldn't say that if they weren't already there in their own mind, if they already hadn't taken possession of it. Okay. So here is the close. Typically, when someone says that, they are ready to move forward. Is that what you want to do? Typically, when someone says that, they're ready to move forward. Is that what you want to do? Boom. Easy, conversational, and we're just basing it on what they just said. And we're using some social proof as well, because we're saying that's if other people say that, they've moved forward. I'm going to give you another close here. It's very non-threatening. This is something that I've been using for a while. I've got this in the rotation. And again, non-threatening. So how shall we proceed from here? Or where do we go from here? Now, actually, you can use this both as a temperature checking question, as a trial close to figure out where is somebody exactly, or you can use it for the major close to get your action at the very end after they've given you some stronger buying signals. And again, it's always been said that somebody who sells themselves is much more strongly sold than somebody who has to be sold. All right. Now, of course, everything isn't going to go perfectly according to plan all the time. If you use my material, our goal is to minimize our chance for resistance, maximize our chance for success. But of course, we're still going to run into resistance, those tough questions, the objections, and so on. So I teach a lot on this stuff, and I'm going to give you some top tips, kind of a Reader's Digest version of this, some things that you can use right now. There's going to be a lot of word-for-word messaging here over the next 5 or 6 slides, all right? So if you don't get them all written down, don't worry. You're going to get the slides. You're going to get the transcript. That'll probably be next week once my transcriptionist gets it done. And also, of course, you're going to have the replay, so you can start and stop it. All right, so When we hear objections, again, what we don't want to do is go into objection rebuttal mode. We don't want to tense up. We don't want to give the other person the feeling that we're going to pounce on them or come back with this goofy objection rebuttal that tells them they're wrong. Instead, we want to kind of go with the flow. We want to find out the reason why they just said what they did. So very simply, we get the objection, such as, well, you know, the price is a little bit out of our budget. Oh, well, let's talk about that question. Or, well, let's discuss that. Well, that's interesting. Let me make sure I've got a good understanding of it. Or, well, tell me more about that. And once you've softened them a little bit, now we can proceed with our questions to really understand the real reason behind that objection. Then what we want to do, we want to continue to drill down. So I understand what you're saying. If it weren't for the price, this is the program you'd choose. Is that right? Or let me make sure I understand this. So if we included the workbooks, we'd be the ones to win the bid. Is that right? Or let's confirm we're talking about the same issue here. You'd get the system from us. It's just that the delivery time is what's holding you back. So now we're focusing on what are we really talking about here? And that's the problem with the stupid objection rebuttals, where you get an objection, you just come back with this response. Well, you're just treating the symptom in that case, not the problem. We got to figure out what the problem is. And so again, what we've got to do in that situation, got to resist the temptation to react negatively also, or get defensive, or try to think of arguments as to why we're right. And instead, here are a couple of questions I suggest you ask yourself, okay? And this helps you get in the right mindset to deal with this. So you want to ask yourself, so under what circumstances could this be true for them? So when somebody says, well, I can get it cheaper down the street, we need to be thinking, why would they say that? Or what would cause someone to feel that way? And this is so important, because what it's doing is it's removing your own bias. It's removing your own feeling is, oh, what an idiot this guy is, right? They don't know anything. It's now causing you to say, oh, gosh, there must be something going on in their mind that is causing them to say that. I need to figure out what it is. So now you're in the right mindset. You're in a better position to question and understand their feelings, as opposed to arguing with them or putting you in a defensive frame of mind. Okay, so let's go a little bit further here. So let's say you've reached the point in a call where you've bumped into just one dead end after another. You're at your wit's end trying to find some potential to keep this call breathing. I mean, it's on life support, but you're coming up empty in the brilliant phrases department. So what do we do now? Well, if you've exhausted your options, and you know, maybe they're not a prospect for you. All right, no problem. But could they be in the future? Well, if so, let's find out. But let them tell you, and let's let them tell you when and what would need to change in order for that to be true. So we could ask questions like these: under what circumstances would you consider upgrading? What would have to happen in order for you to look at adding personnel? Of course, you would adapt this to your situation. At what point would you see yourself increasing your ad budget? What changes would need to take place before you'd implement this type of program? What are the chances of that happening within the next year? What do you see happening in your department over the next couple of months that might have an effect on what you'll do regarding this issue? So again, all we're trying to do here is we're trying to figure out, is there a shred of anything here that we might be able to hang on to? And these questions get them thinking in terms of possibilities. And if they can visualize those changes and possibilities, that's the first step. Excuse me, and at least considering them as an option. All right, a few other things here. What if you hear any kind of resistance that's prefaced with too, such as, well, you're too expensive, that's going to take too much time. You might say, I see. Well, what are you comparing that to? Or what amount did you have in mind? If somebody says, hey, we've got too many things going on right now to consider a change. Oh, well, what's going to have to happen in order to create a calmer situation? The space is too little. Well, what size did you have in mind? So again, think about how you would react. Here's one. Think about this one. Little quiz for you. If somebody said, well, on the one hand, we really like your program. However, the, you know, whatever is going to stop us from working with you. Now, many sales reps would jump in and attack the objection at this point. So how about this? Oh, well, let's talk about that. So let's first go through what you've identified as the reasons for wanting our program. Because notice what they had said. On the one hand, we really like your program. So instead of attacking the objection, listen carefully and then get them talking about the positive. All right, you ever get price resistance, price objections? Oh, you don't? Okay, I'll pass this one over. Okay, no, you probably do. Some of you do. So if you detect that a person's simply trying to beat your price down, consider this. And I've used this before. I've taught it, and I've seen it used with some very powerful results. So they say, again, that they only have this much to spend, or somebody else can give something similar for a lesser price. Okay. Well, would you like to consider something different, more in that price range? Ooh, boom. How about that? Would you like to consider something different? Maybe more in that price range. Or here's how you could even add to that. Would you like to consider something different, maybe with less features, more in that price range? Now, what have you done? What you've done is you've got them to reframe their thinking, that now they're thinking about the value as opposed to just the price, right? Okay. How about the gun in the boot attempt? What is the gun in the boot? Well, have you ever watched any old westerns or any drama action shows where there's a shootout, there's a fight, and the guy has his weapons knocked away, and you just think that he's gonna, you know, it's the end, he's gonna eat it, and then what does he do? He pulls the gun out of the boot. Yep. Because you always got one extra gun in the boot. So what does this mean for us? Well, it's kind of that last ditch attempt. We've got one more arrow in the quiver. So a sales rep called my office, and I quickly and courteously notified her I wasn't a good prospect, and we probably shouldn't waste our time speaking any further. And she said, well, how about if I send you out our media kit anyway? And you can look at it, and I'll give you a call back. And I told her I really didn't need one, since I really wasn't a potential buyer, and I was familiar with what they did. Well, she sent it anyway. Okay, probably had a quota for getting out, you know, so many media kits. And then she called a few days later and said, "Hey, I sent you out the materials. Wonder if you got it." And I said to her, "Look, I told you last time I wasn't a prospect, and you wasted your time. And now my time with the call, plus you sent out the stuff." And so what should she have done? Well, I would suggest the gun in the boot technique, or also we can call it a last resort technique. So after recognizing that I really wasn't a potential buyer, she could have said, "Would it be worth my time to send you literature just in case situations would change at your company?" Now, of course, you want to rephrase that to whatever it is that you do or whatever it is that you send. And if they say, "No, not really," okay, at least you know, yeah, it's a closed-ended question. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for that answer. But here's the real power in this. If they say yes, what would those situations be? Ah, because now they've actually probably thought of a situation. And now what we're doing is we're getting them to open up. And now we're still in the fight, right? So the gun in the boot technique. All right. Who didn't love that movie, right? Forrest Bueller's Day Off. Ferris Bueller, I'm sorry. Mixed up my movies there. Bueller, he's silent. So how about an assumptive email from when somebody goes silent on you? We've all had those where somebody just, things were going pretty well, but then we can't get them on the phone. Now, in most sales situations, we really shouldn't make assumptions, but here's one where we can, and it's after the prospect goes silent on us. And again, I've given the last resort technique quite a bit. Those of you who are in my inner circle will get my material. When we know it's going to be the last time we're contacting them, this is a variation of that, but it uses a negative assumption. This is something that we tested just this past year. So here's what it looks like. I know I'm violating all of the PowerPoint rules. Some PowerPoint geeks out there are probably, your head is exploding, but I had to give you all the stuff here. I'd give you all the goods. So subject line, your, and then you're filling in with whatever results that they were interested in. Your increased response rates, your increased sales, your decreased turnover. So, hey, Pat, looking for confirmation either way, so I'm not clogging up your voicemail and email inboxes. So I'm going to assume for whatever reason that discussing, now again, we're putting in the result here. So the little bit of psychology we're putting in, this is appeals to their fear of missing out. So I'm going to assume this is not a priority for you right now. It's almost kind of shaming them a little bit. Now, if I'm mistaken and you are open to resuming our conversation, please just hit reply with a couple of available times to speak or give me a call at. If not, I will plan on reaching out again before year end to see if things have changed and to update you with anything on our end that could possibly be of value to you. So again, last resort, give them one more shot. And what we find is that, hey, some people are just crazy busy and we're not at the top of the priority list, but they still are interested and they actually apologize because they didn't get back to you. So feel free to steal that and use it in any way that you'd like. All right, next, I'm going to give you a technique that is going to help you not experience rejection on calls ever again, and better yet, help you plant seeds for future business that you're going to cash in on. So first of all, let me ask you, have you ever had someone that you completely wrote off? And you said to yourself, they're never going to do business with us. And you're thinking, I'm never going to hear from them again or never going to speak with them again. But then they surprise you. Like they call you a couple months later and say, hey, you know, things have changed. Boy, we love those, don't we? Actually, we probably budget some of those in. We count on those. Well, that wasn't by happenstance. That happened because they remembered something, and when their situation changed, they thought about you. What I'm suggesting here is that when you both concluded on a call that you're probably not going to do business today, don't just end the call with the worthless phrase, hey, keep us in mind for the future, okay? Because what do most people say in response to that? Oh, yeah, sure, I will. Uh-huh. And then they forget about you before the phone hits the cradle there. Instead, draw a picture for them that they can remember you by. Create a mental file in which they can place you, one that involves a problem that you can solve. So if and when that problem occurs, they can think about you. So Pat, the next time you find yourself in an emergency situation without replacement parts when you need them, hey, give me a call. Since we stock over 30,000 parts, we're pretty likely to find what you need within minutes, okay? So notice what I've done there. I've created the scenario. Next time you find yourself in an emergency without replacement parts when you need them, give me a call to action. Created the scenario. Since we stock over 30,000 parts, we're likely to find what you need within minutes. So if that ever happens, you'll have my information. Okay, so what have I done there? I planted a seed. Now, if you do that, just think about the sheer numbers. I mean, sales is not a numbers game, it's a quality game. But if anything's a numbers game, it's the number of seeds that you plant. Okay, so and what you've also done there is you've salvaged something on the call. You've accomplished something. Instead of saying, oh God, I gotta know I got rejected. No, I've accomplished something. All right, so before I go on to my very last point here, which is going to be a little bit about your attitude and motivation, we want to give away one more college college enrollment. And again, Smart Calling College, over an $895 value. That's actually what it's priced at. And it's ongoing. It's lifetime. You have access to the program for your lifetime, as well as monthly live training webinars and the archive of the webinars. Plus, in the archive, we've got over, I believe, 24 live webinars, which is a couple thousand dollar value alone. So the lucky winner for this one is Megan Musbach. Megan Musbach. Congratulations, you're the winner of the enrollment in the Smart Calling College. All right, we're going to end up with a little bit of what really is most important in sales and our success, and that is how you feel when you're doing it. So, quick story here. I was talking to a sales pro who was struggling with just picking up the phone. Now, she believed in her product. She was personally sold on the value it delivered, which was way more than the price. And she's also invested in herself and her skills, and she's pretty proficient in the Smart Calling process. But I mean, everybody can get better, right? But she's also fairly new to prospecting and has lots of experience, though, in working with customers. So you might be thinking, what was the problem? Well, here was the problem. She was too attached. We got to go all the way to the end here. She was too attached to the outcome of calls. All right. So she was too attached to the outcome of calls, which is a big mistake. I have a little problem here with my slides. So here we go. So if you're too attached to the outcome of your calls, you're destined to, and I've seen people do this, kind of roll up in the fetal position and they crawl under their desk, figuratively. So here's the thing. We're going to get no's. People are going to ignore us. We're going to lose deals. People are going to lie to us, right? If you've been in sales any length of time, you know that. And you know what? You know what every truly wildly successful salesperson says? Big deal. So what? Who cares? Next, we can't be desperate to get the next deal either. That's going to be a certain repellent to people at the other end of the line. So here's what we want to do. Be attached to your process. Be attached to your activity as you hit the ground running for the next week, the next month, and all throughout the year. Those are the things that you control. And when you're committed to what you're doing and how you're doing it, then we get the results. I remember the old great football coach, he's still alive, Tom Osborne, coached the Nebraska National Championship teams. He would always say, championships are great, but I'm more focused on the process. Because when you follow the process, the results are going to come. And also, even more importantly for you as a sales pro, you need to be attached to who you are, okay? You need to define who you are. You need to be a person who is a committed, top producing sales pro who helps thousands of people. Write down who you are. Yeah, this is not woo woo stuff, fellow sales pros. This stuff is proven because you've got to be what you want to be before you're going to act, before you're going to put in the activity. So you need to sell yourself on being that professional. And you also need to be attached to what you really value. So why are you doing this? So maybe you value earning at a high level so that you can provide the lifestyle for yourself and your family. And that's what you really want. Maybe you value the fact that you're helping a tremendous number of people through the charitable causes you support as a result of the income that you're earning, as a result of the sales that you're making. So here's what's important. Never let the thought of a no be bigger than what you value. And many times when people have call reluctance, they're letting that no, that fear of the no, that selfish fear of the no become bigger than their values, becomes bigger than who they are. So when you put that in perspective, isn't that really ridiculous? Now, in addition to this mental part, the physical part needs to be in there as well. So I'm going to finish by talking about what is going to cause you to really crush it this year, or what's going to cause you to get the same or worse results, the worst results than you've even gotten before. And I've shared this with my Facebook community, and I'm going to share it with you as well. A quick personal story. So for about the past 15 years or so, at least four times per week, I've been going to the gym, usually 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. I do it when I'm on the road doing training as well. And yesterday, I expected that I was going to see the typical rush of you know, new people, given that's normally what happens on January 2nd, right? And for whatever reason, I was surprised. I only saw a few new, fresh faces. But here's what I did see. I saw the regulars. These are the same people that have been coming pretty much every morning for years. You've got the 4:30 regulars. You've got the 5 o'clock regulars. You've got the 5:30 regulars. And I assume it's pretty much that way all throughout the day, every day, clockwork. Because for most of these people, the regulars, including myself, it's what we do. It is who we are. It is non-negotiable. And as a result of that, it is a habit. And that, fellow sales professional, is what is going to determine exactly what you are going to be and what you're going to get in all areas of your life. And that's going to determine where you're going to be 1 year from today. And this is not rocket science, okay? It's human science. So many people right here at the beginning of the year, they're halfway listing out their goals for the year. And those are pretty much going to be forgotten in a couple weeks. I mean, and other people have those New Year's resolutions. I mean, come on now, right? Resolutions. Here are the things that really matter. The things that really matter are the things that you do repeatedly. Your habits, okay? Our habits are what propel us to these unbelievable heights in sales, or they can destroy us, okay? And the great thing is that we totally control our habits. And you know, those bad habits, you can quit any destructive habit right now, instantly. Yeah, you can get rid of it. And you can get rid of, or you can begin any new, amazing, powerful habit right now, instantly, whether that be more prospecting, or, well, actually, that would be probably one of the biggest ones, right? Or more self-improvement, more reading every day, more listening to podcasts, and whatever that might be, whatever those habits are. And let's not forget your health as well. Whatever it is, you just need to decide and then do it. Now, is that hard? Well, if you perceive it to be, it's going to be hard, but whatever you perceive something to be is just a story you're telling yourself. But think about this. What are the consequences of your bad habits? What are the consequences of the things that you're doing repeatedly that you know you shouldn't be doing? And what are the consequences of not having the good habits that you know you should be engaged in every single day? Aren't those things hard too? Yeah, absolutely. So here's what I'm going to end with. If you want 2019 to be your best year ever, I suggest that you ask yourself several questions. Number one, what habits do you really need to quit? What habits do you need to acquire and commit to? And then also, this got to be in place. Do I want passionately enough to change so that I'm going to do those things starting right now? Now, I believe that you do because you're on this call with me right now. You're in the minority. You're in the elite, right? You are in the elite group of sales pros. So I believe that you're in the group of people who are going to do those things to make this your best year ever. But you got to go out there. You got to take that action. Just place the next call. Thank you so much for joining me on the program here today. We shared tons of ideas. I encourage you, put them into practice, do these things. And again, I'm sure that you are going to share or see the results, and please do share them with me. All right, everybody, I'm hopefully going to be speaking to you all throughout the year, and I hope you're speaking with me as well. Again, make 2019 your best year ever. Bye, everybody.